Good morning and welcome to Grace Anglican Church on this first Sunday of Advent. Please stand as you are able and join in singing our opening hymn as printed in your bulletin, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. Wonderful. I'm going to ask you to please be seated. And I will ask you to stand again, but there's something important that I need to share with you. Hopefully, most of you received the email I sent out regarding Bill and Louise Rhodes. They would normally be sitting right back there. And on Friday night, they were, in the words of law enforcement, brutally murdered at their home by their son-in-law, who also took his own life. Their daughter was able to escape, and I have not had a chance to talk with her and probably won't in the immediate future. I'm guessing she is still kind of being quiet, but also the police probably still have a few more things to deal with there. Bill and Louise were two of the most beautiful people that I think I have ever known. They came here about a year ago from the church that I was at, Janet and I, when we were at Fuquay Varina, where they had been for a long time. And I think they were founding members of the Church of the Resurrection. I did have an opportunity yesterday to call and talk to Bill Steinberg, who is the rector there. And of course, he was as shocked as any of us. I think it goes to say a couple of things. Number one, you never know. You never know. Make sure that you are right with your Lord and your Savior. I know that Bill and Louise were, and I have no doubt where Bill and Louise are at this moment. They are with Jesus. But again, you never know. And violence or accidents can take us at any time. This is a very fragile life. Secondly, we live in a very violent world, especially in this country. We seem to have gotten to a point in this country where we solve problems with violence. The ability to talk civilly with one another has almost totally gone by the wayside. That having been said, we also live in an environment where we don't put the resources where we need to put them for people who have mental illness. And we need to address those things as well, but that's for another day. I can tell you, Bill and Louise loved this church. They were here only about a year, but they told me more than once, this is a special, special place. They said, we feel like we're always among family. We feel loved and we feel cared for. And they wanted to participate as often and in as many ways as they could. So I would ask you to keep their family in your prayers. Cindy, their daughter, Bill, their son. I don't know him, and so I've not really talked with him at all, but please keep them in your prayers. And pray, as I have been talking to many of you about, and as is in our prayers of the people, we have been praying for a revival in New Bern, North Carolina. Revival is the only thing that is going to change the way that our society acts today. It is going to take God. You can come up with all the solutions you want, but until people have God in their hearts, until Emmanuel comes and lives with them, I don't expect we're going to see a whole lot of change. Thank you, and we'll have some more to say. I will make a quick announcement before we end the service about what our time together instead of forum will be. But I thank you again, and I thank you for your prayers that you've reached out to Janet and I about this. With that, we are going to celebrate the first Sunday in Advent, because Bill and Louise would want us to celebrate the first Sunday in Advent because of what the first Sunday in Advent means. It means a beginning, a new beginning. Please stand. Everything you need to know is in your bulletin, so let's begin. Surely the Lord is coming soon.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Praying together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead. May we rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and I'm going to ask if a couple of you are moved to do so. There are some kids back in the activity room, and it would be nice if maybe a couple of you would go back and use that as your ministry and take care of these little ones. There's nothing involved in teaching. There's plenty of stuff for them to play with. But, you know, their moms, their moms are with them 24/7. And it might be nice for them to have an opportunity to worship. So thank you. With that, we will have the lighting of the first candle.
Savior would be born, king in the line of King David. He would rule the world wisely and bless all the nations. We too believe in God's promise to send Jesus again to this world to establish his kingdom upon the earth. We'd like it. Christian hope is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the confident Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God of Abraham and Sarah and of all the patriarchs of old, you are our Father. You, your love is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Abraham. Help us prepare to celebrate his birth, to ready our hearts, and to place our confident expectation in you. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your words, and to do your will by sharing our confident expectations in you with others. We ask it in the name of the one who was born, the Bethlehem. Amen.
Amen. So last year we started a tradition, and thanks to Judy and to Catherine for helping us with the lighting of the candle. Last year we started a tradition. We had a hymn that we sang throughout Advent, and we added a verse each week, and we're going to do that same thing this week. This week the hymn we are teaching is Prepare the Royal Highway. It comes out of the Lutheran hymnal. And if you happen to have one of those in your back pocket, it's hymn number 27. If you don't have one, that's okay, because the words are right there for you. Janet's going to play it through once, and then I will sing it, and then we will all sing it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we can't help but wonder how it is that you loved us so much that you were willing to send your Son, that you sent your Son to save us from ourselves, from our sin, to redeem us and to reconcile us to yourself, that we might be with you always and forever in heaven. I pray this morning that you would forgive me my sin, for it is great. And I pray that we might hear from Jesus in his name. Amen. This is the new year for the church. The church year begins with Advent. It's different than the secular year because the church year is based on the cycle of Christ. Tish Harrison Warren puts it this way: as the calendar year winds down, as the days darken and grow short, as Christmas songs spill from crowded stores, and children set about making wish lists for Santa, the church year dawns. On the fourth Sunday before Christmas, Advent begins, always. The first day of Advent is our Christian New Year. It kicks off the entire cycle of the liturgical calendar, which through each passing week will slowly unfurl the story of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection and his ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. That's what Advent is about. It's about beginnings. The word Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, and that means coming. We often, during Advent, think about two comings. The one that happened about 2,000 years ago, and the one that has yet to happen. Theologians talk about the kingdom here, the kingdom now, and the kingdom yet to come. You see, when Jesus unfurled that scroll and he read it in the synagogue in Nazareth, he did not read the entire passage from the prophet. In fact, the people in the synagogue were curious when he rolled up the scroll and put it back. They looked at him and they thought, wait a minute. This is the one we've heard about, and yet he doesn't even finish the prophecy. But there was a reason for that. He did it on purpose, because his first advent was not about finishing, it was about beginning. It was about beginning, bringing in that sense of God that he wanted all his people, all the people of Israel, to understand. And ultimately, he understood that he wanted all people from all nations to understand. He wanted them to come to him. Just as the shepherds came to him as a baby, he wants all people to come to him now that he has finished the first part of his work. On the cross, when he says it is finished, he's not talking about the whole thing. He's talking about that portion of which he came to complete. What he finished was everything that was needed for all humankind from that point on, until he returns, that he had finished everything that we need to reconcile us to God. He had redeemed us from our sin. The theologians talk about it as substitutionary atonement. You want to impress your friends and neighbors, you could say, you know, at church the other day, we were talking about the substitutionary atonement. Where do you stand on that? Not exactly the way to win friends and influence people. But anyway, the substitutionary atonement says that he substituted himself for each one of us. It's very important for me that when I have the opportunity, Mal does as well, especially if you have your name tags, to when you come up for communion and we give you the paten to call you by name and to say, Kathy, the body of Christ was broken for you. Barbara, body of Christ was broken for you. Rita, body of Christ was broken for you. Lastly, the body of Christ was broken for you. We say that of each one of you. Because if you had been, this just absolutely explodes my mind. If you had been the only one who needed it, God loves you so much, Rodney. God loves you so much, Lisa, that he would have sent his son as a substitute for you to pay for your sin. That's very humbling. That's very humbling. Who am I? Among the sands of humanity, I'm like a grain. But that didn't matter to him. Because I was a particular grain, a specific grain, someone really important to him. Kids, do you know that you're important to God? Do you know that, Crispin? Ethan? You're important. You are really important, Esther. The little ones are especially important. Jesus makes a point of saying, don't stand in the way of the little ones coming to me. Now, when we do a baptism, and we haven't done one, but I have a feeling we're going to. One of the things that we do as a congregation is we promise to do everything that we can do to help these children, to help Crispin, who's trying to look at me through his lenses. That's okay. I don't look all that good. But to each one of you, that you are important. And that we want you to grow up to understand that Jesus loves you. Advent is a journey. It begins a journey. That journey, as Tish Warren put it, much better than I could ever have. That's why she's the writer and I'm not. That it begins with each passing week of the church year to unfurl this story. The story that we already know so well and yet don't know as well as we should. Doesn't it amaze you that there's always something new in Scripture? Have you ever come across a passage that you've read before, and you look and you go, wait a minute. Yeah, I know I've read this book before. Where'd that passage come from? I never noticed it before. I suspect you never needed it that much. God points us in his word to that which we need on any particular occasion. You know, all Christians recognize, or should, the value of the Christ coming as a baby. The incarnation of God as a little baby. Esther, you and Crispin have a little baby in your house, right? A little tiny baby. Can't walk. What good is he? Can't walk. Can't talk. This goes, and stuff comes out the side of his mouth. Can't go to the bathroom. We want to get nitty gritty. Do you know that God understands that now? He understands how helpless we are because he too was helpless when we look at it. We understand the fragility of a child. I read somewhere, Mommy, this may be interesting to you, that there are over 10,000 decision points in the making of that child before it's born. 10,000 decision points. If any one of them goes wrong, something can go wrong with that baby. Does that amaze you? It should. Because God has come and he has perfected this. And he has given it to us to understand his wonder. And I wonder why he did that. And the answer comes in one word. Love. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, who would come in the form of a helpless baby. By the way, I am convinced theologically he didn't have to. He could have arrived on the scene at the top of Mount Zion or Mount Sinai or both at once with thunder and lightning and earthquakes. But he didn't. Now that would have been impressive if he had. And I'm guessing that maybe some people would have come to him and said, oh, this is God. But that wasn't what God was all about. You see, sometimes God is in the process. God is in the process. Don't hurry along. Kids, don't hurry to grow up. It's not all it's thought to be. Enjoy those years. Pay attention. Read. Read all you can read. Absorb all you can absorb. Because there will come that time in your adulthood when you just won't have enough time. You just won't have enough time. But this is the beginning of a new year. We should take time because it's the beginning of a new year. So I've decided that I'm going to do a series this year. I did one 2 years ago. I did it based on a song. The song was, Mary, Did You Know? Really beautiful song. Theologically a little iffy, but that's okay. Still a good song. This year I'm going to start and I named the series, Do You Know Mary? We talked about Mary herself. This year I'm going to rely on another Christmas song. I'll leave it to you to look up the lyrics, but you'll hear them from time to time as we go through this series. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Do you know what I know? We're going to take a look at that and see what we can find out about this thing that the shepherd said, we must go and see this thing that the angels spoke about. You pray about that. Amen.